From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the headlines between Friday, May the 6th through Sunday, May the 8th. I'm Philip Grant. At the top of the news, Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper that the Chatham Village Board held a workshop meeting last week to discuss water. Mainly, the plan was to replace an open village reservoir on High Street with a closed structure. Village engineer Pat Pendergast said it was not standard procedure for a municipality to use an open reservoir like the one currently in use. Water is now pumped from the village wells to the reservoir and held there until it flows to users in the village. The process is expensive, Pendergast said, and thousands of gallons of water leak from the reservoir on a daily basis. Pendergast advised the board to have a survey of the land around the reservoir done to see how much property the village owns at the site. Colby Hamilton reported at Politico New York that it was announced on Friday, May the 6th, that the state's first court for young adults will open soon in Brooklyn. The court will exclusively handle misdemeanor defendants between the ages of 16 and 24. The court will make available young adult-specific counseling, treatment, and services. The goal is to reduce the use of jail and recidivism among the young adult population. The Brooklyn District Attorney's Office is also launching a new young adult bureau. The court is being funded by a U.S. Department of Justice grant. It is the second of its kind in the nation. The Daily Freeman reported that Scenic Hudson announced it has protected 22 ecologically important acres adjoining Claremont State Historic Site. In Columbia County, the estate of Erno Shims donated a conservation easement on the property to ensure its permanent protection. The parcel contains woods, wetlands, and 1,600 feet of shoreline along Clay Kill. The site is contiguous with nearly 1,100 acres of previously protected land, including state parkland around the Claremont Mansion and adjacent farmland. Shims lived off the land for more than 50 years in a small structure without electricity or running water. Rick Collin reported at Capital Confidential that Governor Andrew Cuomo and the State Labor Department released a report last week showing that more than $10 million in stolen wages was returned to more than 17,000 victims of wage theft during the first quarter of 2016. Some of the most common ways an employer may steal wages include paying tips only, failure to pay overtime, not paying for training time, charging for required uniforms or equipment, and withholding final paychecks. In this latest effort, the department dispersed nearly $263,000 to 982 workers in the Capital Region and more than $500,000 to 646 workers in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Information on wage theft recovery can be found at www.labor.gov/wavetheft. John Mason reported in the Register-Star that the Hudson Common Council Arts, Entertainment, and Tourism Committee is weighing how to distribute $20,000 in city funding for community festivals in the coming year. The committee's final decision will be made at a special meeting at City Hall on Wednesday, May the 11th. At the meeting last week, the committee gave tentative funding approval for Arts Walk, the Bangladeshi Cultural Fair, the Black Arts and Cultural Festival, the Hudson Promise Neighborhood Annual Block Party, Flag Day, the Halloween Parade, Winter Walk, a Hudson Soup Club fish fry, and an event by the Bindlesniff Family Circus. The committee was at odds on private funding for profit businesses and tabled a number of requests as a result. Third Ward Alderman and Attorney John Friedman, head of the Council Legal Committee, said one event, Wonderful World of Women, proposed by the Perfect Ten organization, discriminated against men. He recommended a legal opinion be obtained before a decision is made on that request. With a number of issues to be resolved, the committee agreed to meet again this week. For our final story, Jim Plank reported in the Daily Mail that the Durham Town Board received an application package for a new retail store on Route 145, and from all indications, it will be a Dollar General. Town Supervisor William Carr said he received a call from the Albany branch of Bowler Engineering last week saying the package was on its way. Bowler's client, Primex Properties, is proposing the construction of a 91,000-square-foot retail store at the intersection of Brown and Clay Hill Roads and Route 145. Primex and Dollar General have worked together on several local and regional projects. Bowler has represented Primex for Dollar General stores at proposed sites in Germantown, Schuylerville, Fort Ann, and in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. The Tennessee-based bargain retail chain Dollar General has more than 12,000 stores in 43 states nationwide. There are five Dollar General stores located within 20 miles of Durham at present, including locations in Greenville, Cairo, and Palenville. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service is predicting a sunny day for today with the temperature high near 62 degrees. For Monday night, it will be mostly clear with a low around 38. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, it will be sunny with a high near 65 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 44. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 68 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 45. Sunrise today was at 5:39 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:04 p.m., providing us with 14 hours and 25 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Monday, the 9th day of May 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.